The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The government is calling on the hospitality sector to accommodate families fleeing the war in Ukraine. The state is willing to pay €135 per night for single adults to avail of their facilities. This comes as the defence forces prepare to order more tents to assist 1,400 Ukrainians arriving here next week. Joining me now to discuss this is Lorraine Sweeney. She's a businesswoman and hotel owner. She's also my former boss in another world. Also delighted to be joined by Tim Fenn, who's the chief executive of the Irish Hotels Federation. Good morning to you both. Tim, could I start with you? Could you maybe set out the scene for us? How many hotels are operating, I suppose, in the accommodation of people from the Ukraine and other refugees? What percentage of hotels are not in the hotel business anymore?
Well, we don't have full visibility of that, Bobby, but some indications are that 15% of the room stock in Dublin is contracted to the government for various activities. And around the country, it may be about 8%. But I think when you look at all of this, back when the war in Ukraine broke out back in February, March, and the government sought assistance from our industry, at that stage, we were still, you know, very much coming out of the pandemic. There was a good degree of availability. And nobody predicted the speed of the recovery. And now the situation is happening that the government are looking for more rooms, and there's going to be a challenge as to around availability.
Okay.
Particularly when you look at hotels right around the country that have commitments around sporting events, concerts, community events, weddings, and weekend breaks, and all of that. And you can't just take people for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then ask them to leave for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's going to be a challenge, I think.
And what's the business arrangement with the government? Is there an agreed rate right across the board, or as I understand it, different hotels have different arrangements when it comes to the commerciality of the agreement?
So when all of this happened and the government approached us, so we opened up the communication lines to the industry, and the Department of Children then contracted directly with hotels. So we've no involvement in the price or any aspect of the contracts themselves. So I couldn't really give you a full, honest opinion on that.
Okay, let's bring in our second guest, Lorraine Sweeney, businesswoman and hotel owner. How are you, Lorraine? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
That's true, Bobby. Yes, very well, thank you.
Good. Now, can you tell us your own scenario? The Wilton Hotel in Bray, I know, is one of your properties. You've taken in Ukrainian guests there. Is it possible, Lorraine, to operate a hotel and with I suppose paying tourists and indigenous guests as well as at the same time accommodating Ukrainian refugees?
Well, actually, in our case, it is. We've done that successfully since March. Let's say two thirds, one third. And we've very happy Ukrainian guests, and they have three meals a day in the hotel. And we've also got very happy tourist guests. So there's been no confrontation, no issues whatsoever, actually. I think our particular property suits it because we have a particular wing in which the Ukrainian guests reside.
Nice.
One of the problems of Ukrainian guests coming to a hotel, though, is it's not really a suitable place for them. So we've had to put huge efforts into having supports for them just by the hotel as opposed to by the government, because they come and they're traumatized and, you know, their health issues and so on. So I myself dedicated about 3 months in the early stages of receiving guests to have these supports. We put in yoga classes, art therapy classes. We got in touch with local, we've had the call in the need of the social workers and so on when there have been issues. HSE has been very supportive. So it's, you know, it's an all-round package. It's not just giving them rooms and giving them food, because like we've had to have three husbands removed from the hotel where there were issues in the family. And, you know, five people in one room for months on end does cause issues. So it's, to be honest, I think I'd like to mention that I think the Red Cross response has been poor. I know lots of people who got in touch with the Red Cross and didn't hear anything back for months and, you know, were willing to support. I think Ireland as a country has to stand up now and not have people living in tents in this day and age.
Yeah.
And we really need another route other than just hotels. It's not good for the industry, as I'm sure Tim Fenn will tell you there. There are some hotels that are entirely dedicated to refugees. I know of one that has over 300 people in the hotel, and that can't be good for that hotel's future, nor can it be good for the people staying in it. So another formula is needed.
Can I ask you again about your own commitment then to accommodating your Ukrainian guests? How long is that for? Or what's your contractual arrangement? How long does it last?
Our first commitment was for 3 months, from March until June. And then we did agree to a six-month contract.
Right.
So we're committed now to the end of the year. We wouldn't like to enter into a longer term commitment because we have to reflect on, you know, the rooms, people living in them as a home as opposed to as a hotel guest. They need to be refurbished maybe before next season or whatever.
Yeah.
There's lots of issues. And really, honestly, Bobby, the solution is not hotels in the longer term. And I think the government has to try and consider the welfare of these people who are staying in hotels. They're cooped up. They're worried about what's happening in their country. And I know of a number of Ukrainians who have moved from other Eastern European countries to Ireland. So some of them are actually economic migrants.
Yeah.
Because I did mention in my piece that, you know, we're giving a big dole. We're not creating an incentive for Ukrainians to work. And I have two families side by side, next door rooms, actually, mother, father and three children in each room, and big family rooms. The father in one room works as a farmhand in nearby Kilruddery Estate, and he has lost €525 a week in benefits, whereas next door, the mother and father and the children all get benefits amounting to €525 a week.
Yeah.
So the structure of how we're dealing with them is wrong, I think.
Okay. Tim, what about going back to the hotel business, the group that you represent, that great organisation, the Irish Hotels Federation? Is while hoteliers have stood up and have people like Lorraine there have accommodated the influx of the horrific scenario that the Ukrainian guests have had to face, is there a danger that there'll be a serious now accommodation shortage for tourists and other guests as we go forward in the hotel sector?
Well, I suppose the experience in June was quite challenging for us, and particularly in Dublin, you know, and Dublin had occupancy of over 90% in June, and that did present a problem. That's easing out now, and, you know, sometime later in the year, you know, there would be more capacity available once the tourism season is over. But see, it does, you know, speak to the flashpoint here. Because there might be rooms available certain nights of the week, that doesn't mean that the hotel is available for long-term accommodation for the people who need to be helped. And also, as Lorraine mentioned there, hotel rooms are not suited to long-term stays. They're just not built for it. They're not designed for it. But we, as a nation, have to do the best we can to help these people. And, you know, it would be great to see other options available as well.
Yeah, no, but is there a danger that, you know, it might become more attractive for a hotelier to be in the let's call it, refugee business in terms of housing refugees as opposed to offering hospitality, because they're two very different businesses in my view. And, you know, if you look at even the cost base of a regular hotel with service to tables, and the cost base could be altered significantly to self-service, you know, to a different product effectively. And could it be more profitable to be in the refugee business rather than the hotel business?
Well, each individual entrepreneur is going to make up their own mind as to what to do with their property. And what we would see is that most people, you know, at the time they committed back last March, they didn't realise or didn't expect the recovery to happen as quickly as it did. So many of those that made their decision at the time to help, you know, will be now probably deciding to go back into the tourism business proper. And then again, other properties, as Lorraine mentioned there, will do a portion of their stock and commit that to the refugees. So is there an impact on the industry? There would be if it was to continue to grow the way it's growing.
Yeah.
But each individual business has to make up their own mind as to what to do with that.
Lorraine, back to you, because I think you mentioned it there earlier, but we really need a solution beyond hotels here, don't we? That, like, clearly from what Tim and yourself are saying, you know, this is a temporary scenario. The contracts are short term. The accommodation isn't suitable to families. So where do we go next? Because a long-term hotel accommodation is just not going to be suitable.
It's definitely not suitable, and we can see that in how issues arise within the hotel, you know, where people might not get on, or the kids are shouting at night and disturbing other people and so on. So it's definitely not a long-term solution. And from the perspective of my business, I would say, yes, it's lucrative in the short term, but you're doing long-term damage to your business if you fill your hotel. And you have to consider that this could all be over in 3 months' time or 6 months' time, and hopefully it will be.
Yeah.
And then you have to start from scratch again with your core base of customer. But I honestly think Ireland should be able to. We've huge resources in this country, and the state are doing a really good job. The IPAS team, the International Protection Accommodation Services, are doing a fantastic job. I spoke to one person at the airport last week who was receiving guests, and he had a special requirement for somebody who was ill, and he called me and he said, I've 700 people in front of me queuing for accommodation, and only half of those were Ukrainian refugees. So we also have the other matter of there's a lot more other refugees coming in because of the British Rwanda business. So the country is being swamped. And we don't have the availability in hotels anymore. And tents are just not suitable. And I think we have other resources. And I think Irish people should be called upon to come up with solutions, because, you know, there's no task force on how to deal with this other than within the government departments. And as a country, we have to find a better solution than tents. It's just, in this day and age, it's wrong that we're bringing people over. The other thing they have to do is, for example, if you're a regular, let's call it, refugee coming into Ireland, you may have to share a room. But in the case of the Ukrainians, you don't have to share a room. I've also had an incidence of some people have decided to go home for a short period of time and want me to hold their room for them, which I very strictly will not do.
Okay.
I think there has to be a bit of discipline in terms of the Ukrainians' expectations as well, that, I mean, it's the difference between, you know, a luxury family room and a tent is huge. But, you know, their expectations sometimes when they get to the hotel are high. As
okay.
Well. They won't share.
We'll have to leave it there. Thanks for sharing your stories with us, both Lorraine Sweeney, businesswoman and hotel owner, and Tim Fenn there, chief executive of the Irish Hotels Federation.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.